Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Now, I've been bringing you a whole series in giants in the Christian church, giants. You know, this started months ago. We talked about giants in the life of the Christian. Now, David had a giant. What did they call that guy?
Goliath,
right? We know. But we have giants too, and I've been teaching you about some of the names we call ours. Now, we don't call them Goliath anymore. We call them what?
Anger,
hopelessness, temptation, despondency, poor self-esteem. We all got that stuff. How many have that stuff in your life? We all got it. How many got it all together 4 days into the new year? You got it all together? Oh, praise the Lord. Al, go sit with him, man. That's a young person right there who's got it all together. How many of you do not have it all together? Whew. How many need some more work? We need some more work, right? And so we've been teaching on a whole series called Giants. And I've been teaching recently on a very important one. In fact, it's so important it's taken me a while to get through it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this one. Facing your giants is depression. Depression is huge in a Christian's life. How many felt depression at least one time in your life? It's huge. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. Now, last week we prayed over some folks who are struggling with depression. Anybody feel better this week than you did last week? Anybody feel a little better? Praise God. Praise God. Right? Praise God. And so we're going to talk about, and Sissy had said to me on the way home, she said, well, you know, you didn't talk too much about the problems of depression. Well, that's because I talked about that the week before that. But Sissy was downstairs with the guys, with the kids, right? And so today we're talking about depression. Last week I told you one of the tolls of being able to help conquer your depression is what?
Prayer.
You got to be in prayer about it. Well, today we pick up with another one. And I need you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians, that's one of the Pauline letters. Paul wrote a bunch of letters to a bunch of churches. And this is the church in Philippi. Now, how that works is this. The ins part, the Philippians, the ins part would be like in Pittsburgh, the yins part. How many know the yins part?
Yes.
Well, that'd be the yins part. It'd be like kind of like Moon Township yins or the Avalon yins. It's the people. And so, for example, if he wrote a letter to Coriopolis, he'd be writing the letter to the who? The Coriopolians. So the INS would be the people, right? That's kind of think of it that way. So he's writing to the Philippians, who has a church where? In Philippi. That's in the New Testament.
Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Dr. Michael Jacobson from the University of Maryland did a study. And he wanted to check the antibody levels of people. Now, that's a pretty cool thing. How many's ever had your antibodies checked? You know, they're doing it now for the flu kind of thing, right? And they wanted to check the antibody levels of a human being. But he wanted to find out what happens to their antibodies when they think things. Well, that's an interesting study, right? What happens to their antibody level when they think things? Does it change? And so what he did, Dr. Jacobson from the University of Maryland, what he did was he had people think negative things that's happened in their lives for 5 minutes. He checked their antibody level. He waited for 2 hours, and then he had the same people think about positive things in their life for 5 minutes, and then he checked their antibody level. Now, guess what happened? I guess you guys can figure this out, right? What do you think happened? Their antibody level, when they were thinking negative things, did what?
Dropped.
Now, not just a point. It dropped like 35%. Boom! And when the same people were given the task of thinking positive thoughts, guess what happened to their antibody level? Went up. Now, listen to me. This is important. It's not that their negative level went up to their baseline. Their antibody level went what? Above their baseline. Huh. Now let me run that by you one more time. That means negative people are sick all the time. And positive thinking people are what? Healthy most of the time. Now isn't that a fascinating thing? Now I'm certainly not suggesting that positive people don't get sick. What I'm suggesting based upon that study is that when positive people get sick, it doesn't affect them near as much as a negative person. How many understand that? It's true. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Now, Sissy tells me all the time, she says, you know, you better take some days off because you're sick. And doctors say, how many days do I take off when I'm sick, Sissy?
None.
I'm sick. Now, I probably should, so you don't get it. I understand that. But positive thinking people are not affected as negatively thinking people. How many agree with that statement? It's just true. It's just true. And so the way that you think affects what? Your body. How many agree with that statement? It's absolutely true. Now, you can't control getting the cooties. How many girls here know that boys cause cooties? You know, you better raise your hand. You got to learn this. It's one of those things I told you have to learn. Boys cause what? Cooties. Ooh. Now, how many girls know, and sometimes cooties last a long time. Oh, yeah. Oh, so give me an oh, yeah, right? And so you cannot control totally whether you get sick or not, but you can control how you respond to it. How many know that's absolutely true? It's true. It's absolutely true. Huh. So the way I think affects also the way I feel. Oh, isn't that worth the 50 cents coming here? The way I think affects what? The way I feel. And so when you get up in the morning, you start thinking negative things, guess what? How you're going to feel that day? You're going to feel pretty bad. I'm serious, you're going to feel pretty bad. If you get something and you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm probably going to die. This is going to be it. I'm going to die. This is that dreaded thing they're talking about. I'm going to be dead before tomorrow. How do you think you'll feel? Whitey, terrible. You'll feel terrible. If you get up in the morning, you say, well, I got a little something, but hey, I had this before, I'll beat this, no problem. It's just a little setback. You'll feel better. How many know it's absolutely true? It's the way that life works. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is what? True. How many know you're not going to die from this thing? No, you're really not. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, read that for me. Think about such things. Did you know that in your depression, if you start to think cheerful thoughts and good thoughts and joyful thoughts, maybe you won't be as depressed? How many's ever done that? How many know that's absolutely true? It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Now, I want to explain something to you. Your brain, all of your brains are doing something right now, some more than others. I certainly cannot appreciate that. I understand that. Some of you have old brains, and I understand that. How many's got an old brain? How many lose things? We all got those kind of brains. How many lose things you don't think you ever should lose? Oh my gosh, I mean, I'll talk about me. I won't talk about any of you. I was going to say something about Sissy, but I know better. I won't do that. I'm not. How many ever lost their car? Anybody lose their car yet in the mall? I've officially entered into that realm. I lost my car at Walmart. I did. And I always park in the same place so I know where I parked, because I'm not going to call the guy with the blue light riding around looking for my car. Not happening. So I parked my car where I always parked it, and I lost my car. And I walked all around Walmart saying, no, where did I put that? And I passed my wife's truck, and I said, well, at least she's here. At least I'd have a ride home. So I walked up and down some more. I said, darn it, where did I put my car? And I walked and said, that is Sissy's truck. She must be here. She's got to be here. I called on the phone. I said, where are you at? She's at home. Well, how did you get home when your truck is here? I mean, I'm just saying. I drove her truck. How many's that old? How many's ever walked around looking for glasses on top of your head? Mark, you better put them down, Mark. I'm just saying. I take 2 cents from silver vitamins every day. You know why? I forget I took the first one. Somebody I know called their daughter on the phone and said, did I leave my cell phone at the house? And this person's daughter said, you're talking to me on it. All right, how many have a heart in their chest right now? How many have a heart that's beating? What is it doing? Pumping blood. How many know that's a really good thing? I mean, your hearts are in your chest right now, and they're doing what, Al? They're pumping blood. That's what hearts do. How many are thankful that your heart is beating? Praise God. How many got a pair of lungs inside your chest? What are your lungs doing? How many know that's a really good thing? When your lungs are doing what? Breathing. What's it doing? It's assimilating oxygen, right? Woo-woo. How many's got some kidneys? How many hope the service gets over pretty quick? And our kidneys are doing what? Filtering impurities. How many know that? How many have a brain? Okay, now listen to me. Check it out. Pay attention. It's going to be good. It's worth the trip. It's worth the trip. You got a heart that's beating through your chest. Can you control that? No. You have lungs in your chest and it's breathing. Can you control that? No. You have kidneys in your back and it's doing stuff. Can you control that? No. And you have a brain. And what is your brain doing? Thinking. And you cannot what? Control it. You can't control it. Your heart is doing what a heart is supposed to do, and your brain is doing what a brain is supposed to do. And what does a brain do? It thinks things. And if you're thinking things, that means you are healthy. If you have a brain that's not thinking, raise your hand. Your brain thinks things, and you cannot control it. It's not possible. You can't control it. It's going to think whatever it wants to think. How many understand that? That's what a brain does. I'm going to test my theory. I'm going to give you a word, and I do not want you thinking about it not one single time for the rest of this service. Not one time. Do not think about this word. One time. And immediately when you think it, I want you to stand up. When I tell you don't think it, don't think it. And immediately when you think it, I need you to stand up. Are you ready? Supercatofragilistic expialidocious. Now don't think it. Don't think. Already? What's happening? Oh, no way. And when that word comes to your brain, you stand up. Come on. When that word comes up, you think about it. What are you not thinking about? Stand up, dude. You just thought it. Oh, sit down. You're all brain dead. Now, I purposefully told you, don't think it. And what happened? There it is. There it is. Because you cannot, what? Control it. It just goes. That's what a brain does. Now, I wonder, brothers and sisters, how long your brains have been doing that, I wonder. I wonder if they've been doing it for quite some time. I wonder if your brain's been doing that like almost a whole lifetime. How many know that's true? Now, here's a really goofy thing. I told you do not think about supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And you might say to yourself, man, don't think depression. Don't think depression. Don't think depression. And guess what your mind's going to say? Man, are you depressed? Man, you are so messed up. Your brain is going to go there. It's going to go there. Why? Because you're messed up? No, because your brain goes where it wants to go. How many ever take mental vacations? How many reading a book and your mind just goes, whoop? Am I the only one? Am I that old? How many have to read a paragraph twice because your brain takes a trip? Oh, see, now the truth comes out, Clyde. The truth is coming out now. Because your brain takes trips. Now, I want to teach you something, brothers and sisters. I want you to teach you something. Every one of us as human beings, our brains sometimes think some pretty bizarre things. Now, I don't know whether you want to raise your hand totally on this, but how many think some pretty goofy things sometimes? How many of you sometimes are worried about some of the goofy things sometimes you think? Look, we're going, we are all messed up. Look at this. So what do we do with those goofy thoughts? How many's ever thought even a real scary thought sometimes and you go, oh, where did that come from? What is going on with that? How many of you get bothered by that? Bothered by a thought sometimes. You go, whoa, what is that? How many are bothered? Let me see. How many are bothered? You should be thanking God you're bothered. Yeah. I'm going to teach it to you. You need to thank God you're bothered by that. You need to thank God. You say, whoa, what is that? You should thank God you're bothered by it. You want to tell you why? When a mass murderer thinks about mass murdering folks, he's not bothered by it. In fact, he's a happy little camper. When somebody's thinking thoughts about going into a show, for example, you kind of know what I'm talking about. He's not bothered by that thought. Why not? He enjoys that thought. The human brain thinks things. One of the things the human brain thinks is hypothetical, things that are possible, theoretical, out there in the cosmos. But you know another one? Antithetical. You know what antithetical means? It's a thought that goes against your nature, and that's why you're bothered by it. Hypothetical, things that are possible. Theoretical, ooh, really way out there. Antithetical is things you think that you would never, ever do, and your brain comes up with that, and you go, whoa, where did that come from? How many's ever had an antithetical thought? So what do you do about them antithetical thoughts? You ready? It's going to be worth the trip. Write a note down. Are you ready? Nothing. It's just a what? It's just a thought. And a thought is not a feeling, and a thought is not a fact. What's a thought? Just a thought. It's just your brain doing what it does, thinking things. How many thought about that word one more time I told you not to think about? If you thought about that, stand up. Now, how many thinking about it now because I brought it up? You see how this works? You see how this works? Sit down. And I told you the not what. There you go. There you go. Now, here's some other thoughts you've been thinking about for such a long time. I am no good. I will never be any good. I can't. I won't amount to anything. I make mistakes all the time. I am so forgetful. I don't know what's wrong with me. How many think thoughts like that, too? Oh, no. Guess what you're doing? Programming. You programmed your mind. Let's take a little mental trip here. I'm going to say stuff. I'm going to pull out drawers inside of your mind. I'm going to go through the files. I'm going to pull things out. I'm going to pull a page out of your file that's inside your brain. I want you to finish this sentence after I stop. Are you ready? To be or not?
Be.
I went inside your brain. I pulled out Hamlet. I pulled out Shakespeare, and I went through the file drawer, and I said, oh, I know it's in there somewhere. I know that's in there somewhere. And I simply opened up the file drawer of your brain, went and pulled out a file, and you said what? To be. 87. I went inside the file drawer in your brain under world history. I pulled it out, American history. You didn't do that for seventh grade. I pulled it right out, and you went, boom, there it was. I could do that all day. Hickory dickory. I pulled open the drawer. It said nursery rhymes. I went and pulled out that paper inside your brain. You said, Doc, when's the last time you said that, Sue? A long time ago. How quickly did I pull it out? Immediately. I wonder how often you think about you're no good. I wonder how many times you think things like, what's wrong with me? Why am I this way? I wonder how many times you've been thinking, I'm so depressed. I will never be well. I'm always going to be this way. I wonder how many times you've been thinking those things. Hickory Dickory Dock was decades ago. True? To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it's tis noble in the eyes of the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of trouble, to die. Well, when's the last time you just said that? This morning at breakfast? No. But yet, how fast can I pull it out? When's the last time you said to yourself, I'm no good? When's the last time you said to yourself, I'm useless? When's the last time you said to yourself, I'm always going to be depressed? What's the purpose? Who cares? When's the last time you said, you know, everybody's so much better than me? When's the last time you said that? I bet it was a lot sooner than decades ago. How many agree with that statement? Well, guess where it is then? Right here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about this. When is the last time you ever got up and said, I'm special? When is the last time you got up and you said, man, I'm important? I wonder when the last time you got up and you said, you know what, I have so much worth. I wonder when the last time that you said that. How many know that God likes variety? How many know that God likes variety? I mean, he could have created one tree, right? Right, Robin? He could have created one kind of tree. How many kinds of trees did he create? I'm not that smart. I don't know.
Innumerable.
But every single tree that he created is different than the other. How many know that's absolutely true? How many different kind of birds did he create? How many know that God loves variety? He loves variety, doesn't he? He loves variety. How many know that you are one of a kind and there's not another one just like you, and God created you special? He did not make any junk. You are a created image in his likeness and you are special. Turn to somebody and say, I am special. Now, I'll bet you some of you had a hard time with that. Here's the way this works. Some of you didn't want to do that. Some of you probably felt a little awkward about turning to someone and say, I'm special, because you don't feel special. Probably some of you had a very hard time doing that. You probably thought, oh man, all days I had to come is today. He wants me to turn to somebody and say, I'm special? Does he not know me? Does he not know all of my inadequacies? Does he not know my mistakes and my failures? Does he not know about me? Does he not know anything about me that he thinks I need to think I'm special when I feel so unspecial? How many's ever been told that you're not special? Who's ever been told? Anybody told you're not special? Anybody ever told that you're just really not much of anything at all? Who's ever been told that in this room? Let me tell you, whoever told you that are liars. They are liars. And I don't care who told it to you. Whoever told you that is a liar. God clearly said you are wonderfully made, created beautifully in your mother's womb. Wonderfully made. Did you know that you are sitting next to somebody right now that's special? Turn to somebody. If they couldn't say it to you, you turn to somebody and say, you are special. And I need you to say to them right now, and you are beautifully and wonderfully made. You know, you all look at me, I look at all of you. I get the better deal. Beautifully and wonderfully made. Whatever's true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Some of you have the dreaded disease I've taught you before, optic analytis. Now, hey. Optic analytis, it's true. You can't get a shot for it either. Who here knows what optic analytis is by now? Who does not know what optic analytis is? How many would be better off if I told you? Chrissy, I don't know. Okay, optic analytis is when your optic nerve crosses with your anal nerve and you have a crappy outlook. Oh, you're laughing. But not only is optic analytis cause a crappy outlook, but it's contagious. If you sit next to somebody that's got that, you can catch it. How many's ever sat next to anybody that's had a crappy outlook? You can catch it. Oh, you can catch it. Now let me tell you the problem with it, brother and sister. The problem with it is it causes hardening of the attitudes. And your attitude determines your what? Your altitude. And if you catch it, you need a checkup from your neck up. Just saying. Don't sit next to these guys over here. Whatever is what? Everybody repeat that with me. Whatever is? Whatever is? Whatever is? Whatever is? Whatever is? Whatever is? If anything is, think about these things. That's tool number two. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Give thanks in what? Let's be honest together today, okay? Let's be honest. Isn't it easy to give thanks when there's food in the fridge? I mean, really, truly. I mean, isn't it easy to give thanks when two bathrooms are working downstairs instead of one? I'm just saying. Isn't it easy to give thanks when the car's working and the grandkids are all good and the bills are paid and you don't have to worry about, you know, shutting off utilities? Isn't it easy to thank God for that? Isn't it easy? Thank you for acknowledging me. How many find it sometimes a little harder to thank God on certain days than other days? How many have a hard time thanking God on some days? You're going, whoa. I mean, listen to me. I need you to listen to me, and I need you to pay attention to this. This is critically important that you get this. You think an atheist can be thankful when the bills are paid? Think so? Think so, Pastor Colin? I mean, can't an atheist be thankful too? I would think so. I mean, if the publishing Reader's Digest clearinghouse person, which I'm letting you know now, don't even fill it out. I've sent mine in, you lose. It's my turn. The guy with the balloons is coming to my house. And the big old chest will say, sissy on it, I know. Isn't it easy for an atheist to be thankful when he gets a promotion? I would be willing to bet that an unbeliever who gets called into the supervisor's office, an unbeliever, how many understand what I'm saying to you? I would bet that an unbeliever could be pulled into the supervisor's office and the supervisor say to him, hey, new year, new pay. You're going to get a 25% raise. I bet he says, what? Thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Even an unbeliever can be thankful. Isn't that true? So that doesn't separate you from them, does it? I mean, what makes you different than them? They're thankful for those things too, right? But what if you got pulled into the office and your supervisor said, you know, we didn't have that good a year. Things are not quite as good as I thought. And so I have to tell you something. I'm going to reduce your pay by 25%. I wonder if the unbeliever says, oh, thank you. I was worried I was making too much. Thank you, Jesus. You know what we're called to do? Is to say what? Thank you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work really hard this year. To the best of my ability, I'm going to do all things to the glory of the Lord. I'm not going to do anything for the glory of any man. I'm going to do everything for the glory of the Lord. And sir, I tell you the truth. To as best as I can, to the best of my ability, I'm going to work so extra hard. I'm going to stay over. I'm going to work on Saturdays and make sure this company gets a profit. That's what a Christian does. And that is what makes you separate. And that is what makes you different. Thankful in what? All of my circumstances. I wonder how many of us live a life like that. Brothers and sisters, if you have an unbeliever and he goes into the hospital for a test, and the test comes back negative, I bet he's thankful. How many bet he's thankful too? I bet you an unbeliever could say, oh, the test is negative. Thank you so much, doc. Thank you so much. Does that make him special? But what if the test comes back positive? What should a believer say? Thank you, Lord. I will overcome this too. Because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Amen. See, the third way to get rid of your depression is to be thankful. Thankful in what? All things. Let's turn the Bibles, please, to John 15:11.
I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Wow. I've told you this so that you may have joy. And your joy be what? Complete. Why is that so critically important? Why is joy so critically important? The Old Testament says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is what? My strength. Now, if I wanted to beat up on you, I wouldn't want to beat up on you on a good, healthy day. I'm serious. I wouldn't want to beat up on you when you're strong, would I? No. Eric, I'm not a masochist. I mean, I mean, if I really wanted to pick a fight with somebody, Al, I wouldn't want to pick up a fight on their strong day, would I? I mean, if I wanted to win, what's the purpose of a battle? To win, right? So if I want to win, I need to pick on you when you are weak or strong.
Weak.
That makes perfect sense, right? Makes perfect sense. Now, how many of you have a formidable enemy called Satan?
Yes.
How many know he wants your lunch? No, he wants you. Does he want to fight you in your strength or strike you in your weakness?
Weak.
He wants to fight you in your weakness. I mean, that makes perfect sense, right? And so he knows that the joy of the Lord is your... And he knows that in order to make you weak, he needs to rob you of your... Oh, how simple, how profound. He knows that in order to fight you, he needs to make you weak. And one of the ways that he makes you weak is to rob you of your joy. That your joy may be what? Complete. Not half full, not a quarter full, not a third full, not mostly full. Totally full. You know, as I look out at you today, in closing this part of the service to you, I would be willing to bet that many of you have joyful moments. How many have joyful moments? Joyful moments. I bet you, in a facetious kind of way, last night around 8:15, sitting around the big screen TV with your munchies, you probably felt a little joyful that the game was going to start. And you probably had a little joyful moment when we were up 3-0. And then 6-0, you're probably a little joyful. You went, yeah. And right around 11 o'clock in the evening, when they threw that interception, you probably joy left you. No, I'm just saying. You probably had a little less joy. Probably. In fact, Sissy and I sat down in our daughter's house because we're watching a game with them, and we both looked at each other right around 11 o'clock. And Sissy turned to me and she said, oh, well, I guess we have a lot of time on our hands. I said, yeah, I guess let's go do something. We'll be free for the next couple of Sundays. Praise God. And then we heard on the way in this morning on Fox News say, and they had to lose to the dreaded Ravens too. Oh. So I think a lot of us have joyful moments, but not a joyful life. How many of you know? I know some of you are going to raise your hand. I know you're going to, you know, try to trick me. But how many of you would say that you are joyful 100% of every single minute of your life? Not me. How many have joyful moments? Well, Satan's just waiting for you to have an unjoyful moment. And what's he going to do then? I understand that depression is real. I've suffered with it too. But I'll tell you this, there are things that you can do about it too. How many understand that too? Change the way you think. Does your thoughts affect how you feel? Yeah, they do. Rejoice when? Always. Give thanks with what? In every circumstance, give thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that there are some of us in this room that battle. We battle. And we do. We battle with it. But Lord, we do have an active part to play. If we start to change the way we think, we start, Lord, to give you thanks in all of our circumstances. If we remember to keep the joy of the Lord within us, we can win. We can start to win this battle. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes, Lord, it is. For we know all things are what? Possible. And all of God's people said,